Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics every single week. We will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. God is not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith. He is a respecter of faith. And what else does he respect? He is a respecter of those who diligently seek him. Those who diligently seek him, he rewards. He doesn't reward those who don't diligently seek him, although the entire world is set up in a way to bless human beings. Amen? So there's blessings on even evil people, the Bible says, right? But he actually rewards those who diligently seek him. And if we would become more spirit-minded, which a lot of you are, we would begin to understand this eternal life that I have in Christ, amen, is really where I want to live the most. Amen? I want to live more in the spirit realm than I want to live a natural, boring life, to be quite honest. And my life isn't boring, but compared to the things in the spirit, it's pretty boring. Amen? And so we need to begin to get that mindset that God has put his spirit inside of me. Amen? Get that, everybody, if you would just get that. If his spirit lives inside of you, and his sons and daughters, his mature sons and daughters, are led by the Spirit, and the whole world, which means Christ won't return until this happens. The whole world, the Bible says, all creation is groaning and waiting to see when are these sons and daughters of God going to appear in time. Amen? So we've been talking about this a lot. My identity is in Christ. My identity is I am a daughter of the most powerful, amazing Father ever. He's not human. He's God. And I'm the beloved of his son, Jesus Christ, who actually took on flesh and took on a body to be able to relate to us as a human. How amazing is that? How amazing is that? No wonder abortion is so horrific, that you would murder something made in the image of God, that God himself would take on flesh to look like, to die for, and to associate with in a relationship level. And you wonder why violence is so big when you say to the beginning of life it's not important, and now they're working towards the end of life. When you begin to say your life doesn't matter if you're not a value to somebody who wants to say you're a value, then you're taking away the whole understanding that we were created in the image of God. In the image of God, we were created. Amen? And I just want to say this because y'all know me, I'll say it anyway. You need to repent if you've ever voted for someone who is for murdering babies, because you empowered them to do that. The hard thing is you're going to find that on both sides. But we need to begin to get the priorities that God has. Amen? And just trust God with it. And sometimes you may have to come into life to, which is the worst evil? But then we need to see the worst evil in the same priority that God sees the worst evil. Amen? That's how you prioritize it. Getting rid of your guns is not the worst evil. Because you can have angels that'll throw somebody against the wall in a second and take care of you. We've seen it happen. Amen? Amen? And I just want, we need to be screaming more. We should be so excited as believers that God is actually doing something through believers to stop abortion, which has been going on about 50 years, that I actually thought was almost a hopeless case anymore. I've repented for thinking that people spend all, so much time protesting and so much time praying and thinking, well, this is law now. And to watch God turn that around is amazing to me. Amen? Amen. And the Lord's just stirring in my heart, how big is our God? How big is our God? And I'm totally for the Constitution because I believe God set this nation up specifically the way he wants it set up. Amen? And I believe we've not yet seen it fulfilled. I love what Rick Joyner says, that this nation was set up by God to bring liberty and justice for all. And that didn't happen because of slavery. That didn't happen because of racism. That didn't happen because of elitism. Amen? It didn't happen because this whole nation was set up where you could have freedom to worship. Freedom to not be under some hierarchy of tradition of how to worship. But if you go to most churches in the U.S. this morning, you're going to find out they haven't embraced the freedom that they have. Amen? And so the Lord's just like really stirring my heart for us to be a people, whether how small or big this church is, that's totally up to God. Amen? But I know one thing, I'm not going to give baby food out. I mean, read the Bible. We get lots of teaching. All you got to do is go online. There's tons of teaching. And thank goodness for the Bible study every Sunday morning where Greg gives some really good teaching to help you guys really begin to live this life as a Christian. Amen? But I want to be a meat eater. Amen? And I want to see God bring people. And I think brand new babies can come in here and get hungry really fast and catch up. How would you know that? Because people who heard Jesus preach, he could preach to a bunch of different people in one message, amen? He didn't say, okay, only those who are, you know, really seriously mature come over here and those. He was able to preach in such a way that different people received what they needed to receive, amen? And then like I said, I went to Uganda, and Pastor Fred's an awesome teacher, and so that church has had a lot of teaching, but he hasn't heard a lot of this teaching. Talk about getting compliments. When somebody as apostolic as that man recognizes the anointing on you and the teaching and is really blown away by it. When you get in his car now, this is kind of funny. I'm kind of used to this here. I walk in here and you hear me on this now, whatever, Karen's editing or something for radio. So we get in his car and I've talked for like 6 hours, you know, in Uganda. I get in the car, me and Nicole and Monica, and I'm talking in the car. It's not me. He's actually somehow got the USB and has it working in his car, in the system in his car. And I'm going, what is that? I'm like, please, haven't you heard enough of her? And he goes, this is what I'm listening to from now on. Because he's so hungry. And the people were so hungry. Brent, and the pastor's there. I went nonstop for 3 hours and I was preaching so much. I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, I love this. I love preaching your word to hungry, hungry people who have a desire to serve you, who have a desire to be more than just get by and have a nice life. Amen? Let me tell you what, if your motive is to get by and have a nice life, you're living in the wrong season for the United States of America history or the history of mankind. I mean, you should have been born somewhere else in there. You've been born for this such a time as this, as would say out of the book of Esther. You've been born to be a light in darkness. You have been born. You look at the changes in the last 20 years, and it's amazing. We have gone to such an evil culture. Parents, wake up. Don't just send your kid to school and have no idea what they're learning or what they're doing. It's not what it used to be. Teachers, my goodness, you're going to have to really be bold. You're going to have to know how to share what they're requiring you to share, but in a way that God can honor it. Talk about the need for wisdom. If you're a teacher, if you're a nurse, if you're anyone who knows God, it's our time to shine, but it's our time to use so much wisdom. Amen? It's our time. It's our time to use so much wisdom. It's for ministers in Virginia, which all the mess they're trying to push. It's our time to shine, but to use wisdom. Amen? But this is the key of David that's so cool to me. Because I know that I have the key of David. Doesn't mean I can't lose it if I get prideful or if I quit going after the Lord with all my heart. But I know that I have it because I've watched God use that key. You're sitting in a building that we were told we could not have church here. And God lets us put a thrift store in here where we begin to reach into the community and minister in the community and help people and work with the prisons and the different groups and everything. Amen? So we didn't just sit around whining and crying and wondering, how is this going to happen? God, what have you done? We step out into the next thing to do. Amen? I want you to begin to pray to be a problem solver, not a murmurer. You may not like Trump, but I'm telling you, the man is a problem solver. If he can't get the wall built this way, he'll get the wall built that way. If he can't get the wall built that way, he'll get the wall built that way. Amen? He's going to solve the problem. And we prayed really strong on Friday night that God would give him such a vision and a heart for this nation, and that he would run his campaign not on bullying and insults, which he would be the chief of. He had a lot of practice with that in his life. But we're praying, and we ask you guys to come in agreement, that he would begin to shine for what God has given him to do for this nation. And this nation will be so changed in the next 5 years if he would begin to tap into the wisdom of God in a greater measure. And if we would come as American citizens, no matter what party you want to party with, begin to pray for this nation. Amen? And I think it's true. The demonic stuff that's happening is losing its hold and power in this nation. And even the media is saying that. The platform, everything we work for is falling apart from the other party. Well, praise God. Yeah, murdering babies. You're losing. Ho! They never thought they'd lose that. And they're so afraid of the other unbiblical things that they've won. Falling apart. And we need to be praying that God would heal people who are confused about their identity, that God would heal people who have so much self-hate, that God would heal people that still feel like victims to everything, that the church would begin to preach a message of healing and wholeness that would solve all of this. Amen? Amen? Yes. Amen? And so we need to be problem solvers, not just naysayers, not just fault finders, maybe not fault finders at all, amen? But really problem solvers. But with the key of David, you get to walk in this assurance that God opened that door and no man can close it. You walk in the assurance that, boy, if that door closed, it wasn't the right door. So you're not sitting there feeling beat up because a door closed. Amen? So you're all wondering, how do we get the key of David? Aren't you? Hope so, because that's what I was studying. Because I was wondering, how do you get the key of David? We all know that David was a worshiper, but as I begin to look over David's life, he was much more, the key is more dependent on just being a worshiper. Let's look at some of the highlights of things that David did. We're not going to look at all. Let me just say, we're not going to get into all the things he did wrong. But it should give any of you hope who's messed up. Because David had the most dysfunctional family you can find in the Bible. Almost. Probably maybe the most dysfunctional. A brother killing a brother raping a sister, fighting even at the very end of David's life for who's going to be the next president and president king and try to overthrow. You talk about family issues. David never got that one right. David really never got that right. And then if you go back to his childhood, you might find some reasons why. And you're going to see that in one of these stories in a minute. So I'm in 1 Samuel 13:13, and Samuel says to Saul, who is the king at the time, "You have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandments of the Lord your God." Not the Amplified. I usually do Amplified I use Amplified a lot of times for the Old Testament because it fills in some of the names and things. "You have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandments of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For if you had obeyed the Lord, he would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself." Okay, so if I'm looking what God is seeking, right? I'm looking at who's going to, a key to the key. Amen? So he says, but now your kingdom shall not endure. Now remember, Samuel's the prophet who anoints who's going to be the next king. The Lord has sought out for himself a man, David, after his own heart. And the Lord has appointed him as leader and ruler over his people because you have not kept or obeyed what the Lord commanded you. All right. So God, this prophet is giving us an idea of something about David that to me would make it part of why David had the key. That only God would open doors and only God could close doors. If you really look at David's life, and he probably didn't know he had this key. But if you look at when he says, okay, you know, if that king is supposed to be king, God will make him king. David has an attitude, if you start to study about the key of David, of, well, if God wants me to have this, I'll have this. And if he doesn't, I won't. Let me get you free from complacency, okay? Because some people can have a counterfeit. And the difference is nothing ever happens in their life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, if God wants me to have it. And if most of those people who say that have nothing. They do nothing for God. Their life is kind of wasted for the most part because they have a counterfeit of the key of David. Remember, Satan counterfeits. Everything in Satan's kingdom is a perversion and counterfeit of something real in Christ. Amen? Amen? Yes. And so we need to get to this place to realize this is a real life walk. This is a real walk with a real God who's placed us on planet Earth at this time, and we get real decisions in this, and we have real actions and real responsibilities and real things that add up in all of this. Amen? And it's time for the church to wake up and see that. The difference is if we yield and are led by the Holy Spirit, we'll have everything God wants us to have. So the key to winning in the game of life is yieldedness to Holy Spirit. But if I don't yield to Holy Spirit, what would be a reason that a believer who knows this teaching wouldn't yield to Holy Spirit? The fear of man. A wounded place in you that's afraid to trust anybody, including God. A spirit you took on that you're going to do it your way and you're going to prove something. Amen? So that's why Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Because those wounded places in you will get in the way of you being yielded to God. Amen? High-mindedness. Oh, I know that. I've heard this. I see that. You being in charge of you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You going where you want to go, doing what you want to do. All of those things have issues of the heart involved that stop us from being yielded to Holy Spirit. If it was as simple as just declaring I'm yielded to the Holy Spirit, how many know our lives would look a lot different? Amen? It's a death to self. It's a death to self. Paul says he dies every day. Every day he chooses to be yielded to God. That doesn't mean you're not going to have a great life. It doesn't mean you won't have fun. It means you're going to hang out with God. You'll be close to God. And even in the worst situations, you'll be having a more joyous time than someone who's on a Caribbean cruise. Amen? I just want to be where God wants me to be, which can include a Caribbean cruise. Amen? It's not about, I'm going to live this hard missionary life because I'm a Christian. No, I don't live in the day and age or the place that Paul lived in. Back then, if you were a Christian, coming out of Israelite, coming into Christianity, you were persecuted, hated, and chased from place to place, and yet still full of joy. Amen? Still shaking things up. Well, as of now, it's getting more difficult in America, but up until the last few years, being a Christian in America was not hard. I think this next generation and those in kind of positions of authority are going to be really tested in standing up for Christ for the first time in this country. The Jews have gone through this with the whole Holocaust. So Satan's constantly attacking and attacking. And we need to recognize if the spirit of glory rests on those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, then shouldn't Christians be persecuted? Everybody talks about the glory. I think God is amazing how he sends a move of his spirit. People call it the glory. I don't call it the glory. I don't think we've really seen the glory yet. Because you only get the glory when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. The Bible says the spirit of glory rests on those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, I will say what God sent in signs and wonders and what he sent to shake us and to cause us to encounter and be drawn to him has caused some persecution. Amen? It also tested the hearts of people, and people who just want the party have gone way off board. And now they have doctrines that don't even include Jesus Christ. But those who have held on to the signs and the wonders and the things the Lord really brought are being persecuted. I say, if you can walk away from something, was it ever God? Or are you just out of God's will? Amen? But God is sobering us. He's maturing us. He's bringing us to a season to move in the power of the gifts. Amen? To move in intercession that completely shakes up the devil's kingdom. Amen? See, I want to be someone who shakes whatever God wants me to shake. Amen? And so you get tested in that. And part of that is understanding what God's looking for. So here, the Lord still seeks out people after his heart. Now, I'm going to tell you, because some of you aren't people seeking after his heart, and you don't even know it. It's just cute words to you. What is it to seek after the heart of God? Instead of, people read this Bible and hear this stuff, and it goes in one ear, out the other, as they say. Seeking after the heart. Okay, so we have newlyweds here today. So when tall newlywed was seeking blondie newlywed, we're trying not to use names anymore for the radio. So when tall newlywed was seeking blondie newlywed, tall newlywed wanted to understand her heart. He talked about her. He talked to others about her. She talked to her friends about him. They thought about each other even when they weren't apart. And when they were apart. And they begin to really want a sincere, deep relationship that would last forever with each other. I just want everybody to know, everything God has set up in relationships, everything, if we would understand God and his heart, we would know God is looking for a family. He's looking for a bride for his son. He's looking for children. He's looking for children that he can mature by his own Holy Spirit, teaching them and training them like a parent. Wow. That's the real gospel, everybody. The rules and regulations aren't the gospel. The gospel is Holy Spirit, the disciplinary and the comforter, who reveals the Father heart of God in everything he does to mature us with the goal of making us a mature son and daughter to be able to be married to Jesus Christ and rule and reign with Christ. How amazing is this that we live in? And yet we still don't understand what God's heart's after. David was a forerunner of the bride of Christ. He was someone after the heart of God when he didn't even know it was. Enoch's another one before even David, who just loved being with God, hanging out with God, talking to God, enjoying God. Amen? Just loved enjoying God. Delight yourself in the Lord. This is a promise. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. So anyone who's jealous that God gave me a beach house, why don't you just start delighting? If you delight yourself in the Lord, he does stuff for you that you're not even expecting. You gave it up. You laid it down. You're not even, Lord, I don't need that. And then he gives you so much grace for it. He's not a respecter of persons. Get that. Some of you are so wounded from your childhood and from low self-esteem and from cultural things telling you you'll never be good enough that you have a place where you run to hide to blame everything on the poor victim you. And you don't get it. In the kingdom, It doesn't matter. Daniel was in captivity, like he was a slave taken captive, and he was one of the major rulers of the nations when he was in captivity because of the favor of God and the gifts of God. Do you see? So our whole nation could be in captivity and we can be still put in the highest positions. Amen? I want you to get this. They'll say, well, if you don't renounce this, you're not fit for this. Well, if God says I'm fit for something because I have the key of David, ho, nobody can say I'm not. But God wants us to step into who we are in Christ Jesus and let go of our false identities from our hurts and our pains or our high-mindedness in the past. It's harder to get into the kingdom, the Bible says, to think more highly of yourself than you ought and to be able to buy your way in. And I'm not going to get into politics, but I really like to clap my hands when a certain politician who thought he could buy Virginia and turn this, he thinks he turned this state to the demonic, but I'm going to tell you what, it's the church asleep that allowed the state to be turned to the demonic, but it's a church waking up in Virginia that's going to turn this state and this nation back to Jesus Christ in the biggest thing they've ever seen. So it was yay when the person bragged on national television that they bought Virginia for the people who like to kill babies. And then they didn't win nothing with all their millions and millions, if not billions of dollars. Get rid of the love of money so your prayers will have some power. Amen. Get rid of the love of money. And that's what we're doing Friday nights. We're dealing with these issues for real that have made the church not have the authority and power that she's really supposed to have. Amen. And I pray for this person. I pray for every one of those politicians that they would find Jesus Christ for real. And they could be just like Kanye or Justin Bieber, anybody who was living for the devil for a season, and turn around and be used mightily for God. Look at Saul. I mean, Saul, who became Paul, that Saul, not the Saul we're reading about here. But Paul was murdering Christians and thought he was doing God a favor. And if you hear some of the stuff politicians are saying, they're trying to murder Christians and they think they're doing God a favor. And if Paul could be that deceived, maybe they're just that deceived. Amen? So we need to pray that they have their encounter, that they have their Damascus Road encounter. This is something good to pray. On Friday night's reminder, you start praying for the Damascus Road encounter for those people who think they're right about God and his ways, but they're completely wrong. Amen? We're going to start praying scripture, people. We're going to start seeing these stories that are true things that God did in his word and how to apply those to the things we're praying for. Amen? No more 5-second prayers without even a scripture verse. That's lazy praying. You reap what you sow. If you won't take the time to find some scripture to pray into your problem, when the word of God, the angels only respond to the word of God. Amen? But they do. The Bible says if the word of God comes forth and the Holy Spirit's in charge of that word coming out of you and the angels grab it, they will perform it to completion. Amen? How many know we need to be in the word? Not just to read a good little story. Not even just to mature with God. But let me get back to the key of David. So David was after God's heart. David wanted to please God, to know God, to live for God. David spent a lot of time by himself from what scripture sounds like because his family kind of didn't have a lot to do with him. And he was out taking care of the little sheep while his brothers were all making fun of him. But he loved music. And he would sit out there and look at the stars, and he began to understand how he took care of the sheep is how God wanted to take care of him. God actually taught David about himself through nature. And I believe he won David's heart through nature. I believe he just, while David was by himself contemplating the stars and the sheep and the wildlife and how things happen, he just fell in love with God. Just a little shepherd boy. Get rid of trying to be religious and scholarly in religion and begin to just fall in love with God. When you take your walk, don't just take your walk or run your run because you want to lose some weight. Do it and bring God with you. He's there anyway, right? but talk to him about, wow, that's so beautiful. Every time, and it can be really cold, my little dog in Nag's Head, for some reason, will only go to the bathroom. Well, let me say, we'll go to the bathroom in the house if you don't go along with this little rule of my little dog. I have to walk the dog all the way down the long driveway to the end of the driveway for the dog to go to the bathroom. Now, that's fine on a 75-degree night. But we go in March, and it's like 32 degrees, and you got to walk. There's grass right there. The dog doesn't care about that grass. You know what I'm saying? You got to walk all the way. And it's so cold. I got coat on. I got everything. And 2 a.m, here we're walking down the driveway. And as soon as I see those stars, and I see that moon, and I hear the waves, all I can do is worship God. All I can do is worship God. And you want to know why? Because I have a heart after God. I have a heart after God. God wants us to have a heart after him. Amen? He wants us to have a heart after him. Do you understand? You decide to have a heart after God. You give him the time. And you don't do it to get anything. See, that's manipulation. That's a wrong relationship. When you're like, well, I'm going to marry him because then I won't have to worry about money. Well, I'm going to marry her because she's so hot. I don't have to, you know, it's like, no. That's not. That's the world's way. That's like, who can I use and benefit from? That's not a heart after God. Amen? That's not a marriage God can bless. It's like, who is it? How can I just find out who God is and walk with God and know God and hear God and be led by God and fall in love with him? And it's a process, amen? But it starts with a heart after God. So he says here, the Lord seeks out for himself a person, a man or a woman, after his own heart. And after the Lord found David, he says, and the Lord has appointed him as leader and ruler over his people. So that's what the prophet says. How many know God will, you will begin to walk into that revelation of having the key of David. Whatever God opens, no one can close. Whatever God closes, no one can open. And you know that you know what he's told you you're going to have, and nobody can stop it. And you lay down your own desires and you desire God and his ways. Amen. And you can, and he has that plan for you. I mean, we've talked before about the books that are written in heaven. Everybody's lives are written out in heaven and what you're supposed to do and not do. And so there's nothing in those books that are written about you that won't come to pass. If you want God's will and you're serious about that, and if you begin to understand that he wants to give you the key of David, he wants to be able for you to see things that he does, no one can stop. You know, Nilo just walked in. And Nilo is such an example of someone that God has given the key of David to. I mean, the things he's done without church paying for it, without other people financing it, without backing it, making such an impact in the Philippines. And a big part of it is once God got a hold of Nilo, Nilo just wanted to serve God. He worked a job that he didn't love, but he stayed at it, and he brought revival to a prison. And he'd pray for people in the closets at the prison and get them saved. Because once he gave his life to God, he began to go after. You don't go after the key of David. God gives you the key of David when you go after God. Amen? So if you read a book on how to get the key of David, you can't have a formula to get the key of David. You have to have the heart to get the key of David. But sometimes if we don't stop long enough to hear, what is it God is looking for? What does God really want? Amen? God wants a people who want him. Not when there's only problems. I have more fun praying when I feel good than when I don't feel good. Amen? I enjoy God more when things are going good. But I got to say, when things aren't going good, he might hear from me a little more. Amen. It's like, Lord, help. All right, so write that one down if you're doing notes. To get to the key of David, First of all, there's no formula to get to the key of David, but if I can see who has it, which is David, God named it after him, amen, then if I look at him and his life, I can see what God's looking for. So the first thing that God is looking for, if you really want him to be in charge of opening and closing the doors for you. And I'll promise you this, if we would have gone after this, you'd never gone through a divorce. Amen. You wouldn't have gone to a job and you hate it and all this. Come on, we all miss this stuff, amen. So isn't it good to kind of get into some meat of the word and find out how to get back on track, how to get this thing straight, how to not have to worry about money and know what job it is and this and that. And it's funny, it's all simple. There's no super five steps. It's really about falling in love with Jesus Christ, amen, and wanting to be part of the Father's kingdom, amen, and seeking first his kingdom and his ways and his righteousness and loving him and spending the time in his presence and seeking after him, amen, and not getting so busy. But even if you're busy, God can be busy with you, amen. You don't get up in the morning, say a little prayer, say, okay, God, I'll meet you back here when work's over, see you around 6, and walk out the door. God wants you to have a knowing that he's going where you're going. Amen. He didn't put this Holy Spirit outside of you. He put the Holy Spirit inside of you. Why? Because he's going where you're going. The sad thing with that is, in our human thinking, is he's got to go where I go. Where if he was outside of me, I could just grab onto him and see where he wants to go. God's like, no, this isn't working like that. This is about you choosing to be led. I want everybody to really stop for a second. If you're really struggling with some sin issues, do you really want to bring Holy Spirit into that situation? Don't keep playing with that stuff. I don't think I'm talking to anybody in here necessarily, but I'm sure somebody watching or somebody who will hear this. When people are like, well, that's not that bad a sin. You're bringing Jesus right there. Or do you really want to chance him leaving you so you can go participate in that sin? What if you die in that sin while he's left you? You're guaranteed you're not going to heaven. Don't play around with the truth of God living inside of you. What a powerful, mighty thing that the church has all but just made it like a little word, so not a reality. Amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I mean, just really, when you wake up, really get that God lives inside of you. When you're fighting something, really talk to the God inside of you. Really, really bring his word up to him. Really, when you go to read the word of God, invite the teacher, the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of you, to come and help you to learn. Amen? Just really start seriously without it just being something you hear on Sunday morning. Seriously, 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 starting now, if you haven't already done this, really recognize Holy Spirit. If I have a heart after God, I'm going to recognize God. Amen? Right? It's not just going to be an afterthought or something that I think about once in a while. Sometimes I'll go and I'll be busy doing things. I'll think, wow, Lord, I don't know that I really stopped and talked to you for a couple of hours. Forgive me. The Lord goes, that's all right. I'm right here. I said, and Lord, you gave me the strength to do all that. I just thank you. All right, but I want more of God. Amen? All right, let me go down to the next one. Then we'll get ready to do some worship. This is pretty wild. Look at 1 Samuel 16. Now, Saul, God did not take away the kingdom from Saul right away. So everybody learned the spiritual principle. God can tell you something and it not happen for years. Can I get an amen? Amen. But if God tells you and you have a heart after God, amen, it's going to happen. Amen? So Saul was warned, David was chosen, but nothing really changed for a while. So now you have but do know this, 1 Samuel 16:14, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul after this prophet warned him and anointed David. 1 Samuel 16:14. And it says, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented and terrified him. Now some people get confused about an evil spirit coming from the Lord. And I'm just going to tell you how I see it, but I could be wrong. I believe, because God set the whole thing up. When people say God's sovereign, he's sovereign because he set it up. Amen? But he set it up with what the enemy can do and what the enemy can't do and spiritual laws and how things work. And I just believe when he set it up that wherever there was a Holy Spirit presence, if you lose that presence, a tormenting spirit's going to come in and live there. And you can see that in the life of Judas. Amen? And so when the Holy Spirit left Saul and he was no longer the prophet called to be the prophet, a tormenting evil spirit was sent. Amen? And you can figure that any way you want. I personally, it doesn't matter to me. The truth is, it was sent, it was able to get in because he had come against what God had called him to do. Amen? And because God is sovereign, overall you can say, God allowed that, or God sent that. Amen? It tormented him and terrified him. The servant said, behold, an evil spirit is tormenting you. Let her go. I'm going to see something for a second. I'm going to go to the literal. So they said, the servant says, please let our Lord say to your servants before you, let them seek out a man who knows how to play the harp. And it shall be when the evil spirit from God is upon you, and he shall play with his hand, it shall be well with you. And Saul said to his servants, now look for a man who is good at playing for me the harp and bring him to me. One of the servants answered and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, who is skillful in playing, a mighty warrior, a man of battle, skillful in speech, a man of form. Jehovah is with him. And Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send your son David to me, who is with the flock. Okay, so David came anyway. And here David, who's anointed as a new king, is not the king yet. He's still honoring this crazy king. So let me just tell you something. Whoever is the president of your nation, whether you think he is to be honored or not, he is to be honored according to God's word. Amen? And we've all had crazy kings and kings we've liked. We call them presidents here. Amen? But it's very clear that David had to honor the crazy king. Amen? So when God is looking at your heart, if you have a heart after God, you submit yourself and honor his system of authority. It's like, okay, come on. We live in such a lawless, rebellious generation, right? That we really need the fear of the Lord. We really need the Lord to come in and wake us up and help us to continue to do things his way. Because everything, as the world gets further and further and further away from the ways of God, as the Antichrist spirit of lawlessness and self-promotion, all the stuff the enemy's going to try to do comes, and it's on the commercials, it's everywhere. Amen? It's speeches, teachers, it's being taught, it's everywhere. We're going to have to go deeper into God's word to see, what does God say about this? How does God tell us to handle this? And if you really want to walk in a place with God of favor, if you really want to have the key of David, which is what we're studying today, if you really want God to be in charge of opening doors and no man can close, and closing doors and nobody can open them, if you want that, you have to get to a place to recognize that you need to be submissive to the Lord and to the way he does things. And you cannot try to come against that. Send your son David to me, who is with the flock. And Jesse took a donkey. Anyway, he sent David with gifts. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly. and he became one who bore his articles. David, the Lord gave David a love for Saul. He didn't have to fake it. Some of us need to really pray for God to give us his kind of love for the people that are hard to love. People, maybe different ministers we see that have lost the anointing. You got to remember, David really loves Saul here, and Saul's already, the Holy Spirit's departed from Saul. That takes grace. Amen? That takes grace. So God wants us to love people who the rest of the world can't love. To honor people that he's put in positions of authority. How many know this is death to self? How many know, Lord, you're going to have to help me with this. You're going to have to teach me how to do this. You're going to have to really, Lord, you're going to have to do this. So Jesse says, so Saul says to Jesse, David's father, please let David stand before me, for he has found grace in my eyes. And it happened the evil spirit from God was on Saul, that David would take up the harp and play it. And there was relief for Saul, and the evil spirit would depart from him. I mean, some of this stuff is like, wow. David had an anointing of God on his life now. He's been anointed. And so when he, as an anointed musician, would play, the demonic spirit that was tormenting Saul had lost his authority. So if you're into, how many love worship and praise? Amen? How many, there are people you'll hear all the time, they'll enter into worship and praise, say, there was such a presence of the Lord. Well, it's kind of twofold. There's a presence of the Lord, which means there's a departure of evil. Amen? And sometimes when we'll be worshiping or praising, especially if we go somewhere that's really messed up, you can ask Karen. And there's so much of a demonic, especially with some demonic false worship and counterfeit that's in the church today, because it has nothing to do with God. It has to do with them. True worship is always towards God. True praise is always towards God. Whenever it begins to be focused on us or focused on what we're doing or focused on our message or focused on our church or whatever, then a mixture gets in. Amen? And so sometimes we go places where there's such a mixture, if you have discernment, and sometimes you really have to bust through it and really get to such a place, a higher place in worship than what's going on in the counterfeit, and it can actually change the whole atmosphere. And this would be based on this, if you want to call this a principle, that you see in David's life. Think about it. People who've never felt the presence of the Lord because they're so tormented and so much demonization going on from the gaming they're doing and the stuff they're watching and the TV shows that are on. People in church all over the place are so bound to demons. And if true worship comes, not counterfeit, if true worship comes, it comes from a heart that delights in the Lord, a heart that's after the heart of God that David had, right? That kind of heart after the love of God, which causes the anointing to come on your life, which is what happened for David, actually stops the tormenting spirits from operating when that kind of worship is going on. Amen. And that's why you have people who never feel the presence of the Lord, because a lot of times they're so tormented in their own lives, go, oh, I just really love that. That was wonderful. I just don't even want to leave that kind of presence of the Lord. And it encourages me to encourage our worship team and encourage those who want to be part of the worship team, get deeper. I mean, we'll go pretty deep, but how many know we all need to go deeper, amen? How many know we need that deeper thing? If God's going to bring in hurt people, it makes me think of people who come and say, I don't feel anything. I'm thinking, man, we just had such an awesome time in God and you don't feel anything. I want to begin to believe this word that God's going to bust through you not being able to feel anything because of your torment. Ho! And break through, so you're going to start feeling things and getting free during worship. And when it comes back after, you're going to at least know the difference so we can help you get free. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Amen? As we're looking at David and we're looking at some of the characteristics of him that gave him this heart, we're only going to look at one more for today. Okay, so let's go to 1 Samuel 17. Now, this is when we all know the story of David and Goliath, and I know it's cool for Greg because he saw where that happened, and I saw where that happened in this big field, and it's a long ways for these people to walk through those hilly areas and stuff. So David's brothers were where the battle against Goliath was supposed to happen. And David was out in the field, but Jesse decides to send some food and supplies to his brothers through David. All right, so David's going to go where the battle is. So 1 Samuel 17:20, David rose up early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper. Let me go to Amplified. David got up early in the morning, left the flock with the keeper, picked up the provisions, and went just as Jesse, his dad, had directed him. And he came to the encampment as the army was going out in battle formation, shouting the battle cry. Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle formation, army against army. Then David left his provisions in the care of the supply keeper and ran to the ranks and came and greeted his brothers. So here's young David. And all of a sudden he's watching this battle lines being drawn. The Philistines are going to be fighting the Israelites. The battle lines are drawn. David's all excited. He hands the provisions for his brothers to somebody. Hey, watch this. And he runs over to his brothers all excited. And he was talking with them. Behold, and all of a sudden the champion, the Philistine named Goliath, who's gigantic, was coming up from the army of the Philistines. And he spoke these words again, and David heard him. When the men of Israel all saw the man, they fled from him and were very frightened. Basically, we'd have to go up and read further, but Goliath challenged them and said, send me your best. Just send me your best. And if I win, you serve us. And if you win, we serve you. Instead of fighting the whole armies. So when the men of Israel all saw the man, they fled from him, were very frightened. The men of Israel said, how have you seen this man who is coming up? Surely he's coming up to defy Israel. The king will reward the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter in marriage to make his father's house free from taxes. Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him. What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes the disgrace from Israel? And who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he has taunted and defiled the armies of the living God? So David kind of comes up on the conversation, and he didn't hear what the king had promised. And he's basically saying, hey, what's going on? What's the king going to do for whoever takes down this filthy Philistine, this uncircumcised Philistine? When you hear uncircumcised, it's saying he's not a Jew. He's not an Israelite. He's not protected by God. He doesn't belong to God. He doesn't have the symbol that we Israelites have, that we belong to God and God is our Father. So what are we going to do about it? It's like, who is it? Who's going to kill this filthy Philistine? You can't realize, this is a young kid for the most part. I mean, David's pretty young. And here's all these older people like scared of this thing. And David comes in with all this zeal. And he goes, who does he think he is defiling the armies of the living God? The men told him, that is what will be done for the man who kills him. So they told him about marrying the daughter and getting the riches. Now the oldest brother heard what David said to the men, and his anger burned against David. And he said, why have you come down here? With whom did you leave your little sheep in the wilderness? I know you're presumptuous, overconfident, and I know the evil of your heart, for you have come down here in order to see the battle. You can see there's some dysfunction between these brothers. And right away, there's this, David, you're just here to watch us die. You're just here to make fun of us. Now, I don't know that much about David's past before this time. David might have earned that reputation. Amen? Some of us have brothers and sisters who've earned that reputation, and some of you are the brother or the sister who've earned that reputation. Amen? Always making fun of the other one, or always feeling like you're being judged by them. Obviously, dysfunction, which if you really study David's life, that continued in his own family big time. All right? But David said, what have I done? It was a harmless question. Sounds like a normal family dynamics, doesn't it? What? I'm not trying to start up any trouble. I'm not saying you should go get yourself killed right now. I'm not saying you're a chicken. Chicken, 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 chicken. Amen? Because we really don't know the family dynamics, but I'll tell you what, you do know them some, because he was out in the field and wasn't seeming important. So David was always kind of left out. He was younger, and he didn't seem to be as close as the other brothers. Amen? So here he is, And they wish he, this brother at least wishes he wasn't there. Then David turned away from his brother to someone else and asked the same question. And the people gave him the same answer as the first. So David is very persistent. He did not let the bullying and the teasing of his brother stop him because he really wanted to know what happens to the person who kills this Philistine. When the words that David spoke were heard, the men reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no man's courage fail because of this Goliath, for your servant will go out and fight with the Philistines." Wow. Now remember, we're looking to see what is it that gives you the key to David? The key of David, right? What is it that you have to have that God will say, you know what, from now on, only I'm opening doors for you and only I'm closing doors for you. You don't have to even think about it anymore. I've got this, right? And this is promised in the book of Revelations. We're not going to probably get to till next week. But the book of Revelations, God gives this key to those who overcome. To those who have works, by the way. I'll finish this little part, then we'll do that in case we don't get back to this topic. But because y'all know me, we might not. That's why I try to make everything be a whole teaching if I don't get back to it. So here's David talking to the king. "Let no man's courage fail because of this Goliath, your servant." He's saying, "I'll go out and I'll fight with this Philistine." Then Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight him, for you are a young man, and he has been a warrior since his youth." Saul's being kind of nice here. Like, he's kind of saying, "Look, kid, this guy will spit you out. This guy has been fighting since he was little, and you're just kind of a young little scrawny thing." But David says to Saul, "Your servant," he says, "wait a minute now, let me tell you about me." Okay, I was talking to somebody Friday night. Sometimes you got to stand up and say, "Well, wait a minute, let me tell you about me." Because David's not bragging on David. David's bragging on God and him belonging to God. And look what God has done using me. That's what David is. So I want you to see this. And I want all the shy, quiet people who hate anybody who boast to start to see if they're boasting. If you're not boasting about God, you don't have the key to David. The key of David belongs to people who know who their God is and what he has done, and they are not afraid to say it. And they don't care if other people think, "Well, who do you think you are?" Because they know who they are. Amen? I'm telling you, God's putting backbone in people in this place. He's putting a Holy Spirit backbone. You need to, just because there were people in your past who had demonic backbones and were arrogant and controlling and mean or whatever you wanted to judge them in your little self, doesn't mean that God doesn't have a real personality that he places in people that's bold. Amen? Bold. One of the things that happens when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit is boldness. So of course the enemy's going to have a counterfeit of that. Amen? Forget the counterfeit. Let's get the real. Repent for judging the counterfeit. Because it could stop you from getting the real. Amen? David says to Saul, "Wait a minute, your servant. I was tending my father's sheep, and a lion and a bear came, and they took one of the lambs out of the flock. But I went out after them. I attacked it. I rescued the lamb from its mouth. When it rose up again, I seized it by its whiskers, and I struck it, and I killed it. Your servant has both killed the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted and defiled the armies of the living God." David said, here's the key. David said, this is the key, and David knew this, and David believed this. "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." See, David wasn't boasting on, look what, you know, I know how to shoot the best, or I know. He was boasting in his knowing how God had taken care of him. David knew that when it was an impossible situation, God has come through. Now, how many know that many of us have been in some impossible situations? Amen? How many in here would really say that you're pretty sure that if it wasn't for the intervention of God, there would have been some really worse things that would have happened in your life? Raise your hand. Like, you know, this is, I know if it wasn't for God, I'd have had that surgery. I know if it wasn't for God, I'd have died of that cancer. I know if it wasn't for God, grief would have destroyed my marriage. I know if it wasn't for God, my son would be dead. I know if it wasn't for God. How many have I know if it wasn't for God? For real. Look around. That's a lot of I know if it wasn't for God's. Amen. The I know if it wasn't for God is to encourage us to move into this place after the heart of God so that we can have the key of David. Not the only reason. It's just the topic today. Amen. Do you see how it all blends together? And God's saying, we've got to rise up because, come on, fighting a bear and fighting a lion compared to this gigantic man who was a giant, they say, who had armory. Might have been like, well, maybe the lion and the bear, you know, but this is a person. If you really walk with God and you do the great exploits he has for you, you will be killing little lions and bears, and you will reach your Goliaths. I don't think most of us have seen our Goliaths yet. But when we do, we need to be able to rise up and remember the God who had us kill the bear and kill the lion. Amen? What he has done for us. It is powerful to declare what he has done for us. It is powerful to tell your children what he has done for us. Amen? Not just take it as a just kind of happened, or don't touch it as if you did it without him. Amen? Don't touch it as if you've done it without him. So as we get ready to go into worship this morning, I want you during worship to just spend some time thanking God for those things he's done in your life that you know would have been different had he not been a real God. Amen? I want you to spend some time asking him to help you to have a heart for him, to want to spend more time with him, to want to know him. Amen? And the things he has shown us today, that I want the key. I don't want just the key of David. Oh, let me read that last scripture real fast. You can say, I'm really going to do this fast. We may finish some of this next week, but let me show you just, the key of David is in Isaiah 22, but we're going to go to where it's repeated in the book of Revelation. Okay, Revelations 3:7. And the angel, the divine messenger of the church in Philadelphia, write, these are the works of the Holy One, the true One, he who has the key of David. He who opens and no one will be able to shut, and he who shuts and no one opens. I know your deeds. See, I've set before you an open door which no one is able to shut, for you have a little power, you've kept my word, you've not renounced or denied my name. Take note, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie, I will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know without any doubt that I have loved you. Because you have kept the word of my endurance, I will keep you safe. Listen to this powerful prayer. I will keep you safe from the hour of trial, the hour which is about to come on the whole world to test those who live on the earth. Do you want to be kept from the wrath of God? People say, well, I think we got to go through it. Well, go read this part of Revelations. So you might have to. But I'm going to have that key, people. I'm going to have that key. I'm going to have the key of David. I'm going to have such a walk with God and a relationship with God and obey God and walk fearlessly before anything the enemy sends because of who Christ is in me. And I'm going to love God and I'm going to have a heart after God. And I'm going to believe with all my heart because he promises here that when he pours out that wrath, I'm not going to go through it. But that's, you got to understand, you can't try to get the key of David not to go through the wrath. The truth is, if you have the key of David, you're not afraid to go through the wrath. Amen? It's just part of how good he is. Nope, I'm not going to have you go through that. You've already proved you won't deny me. You've already proved you love me. You already proved that I'm more important to you than anything else. You've already done all these things that the world's going to be tested in that last hour. I'm just going to bring you up to myself. And I personally believe that is who the bride is going to be. Those who've already walked through the other things and have passed the test, so to speak, and their heart belongs to God and God alone. And they've learned to count it all joy, the various trials, because as they've walked through these things, they now lack nothing. Amen? And they know that, and they believe that, and they walk in God, and they want only God and his kingdom come. Amen? It doesn't mean that we don't still have like, oh, I don't want bad things to happen. You shouldn't want bad things to happen, right? It's more of a knowing, well, whatever happens, God will get me through. Whatever happens, God is greater than. My heart belongs to him. And I know that he's going to open the doors he says he's going to open for me and close those. So this is where those who see that word, the key of David, comes from, that there's going to be a lot of people who are going to act as if they're believers or Jews, but yet they're really the devil's behind what they're doing. These people are not going to bow down to the counterfeit. But God says something here that's really powerful, and maybe it will be the rapture that this will be made clear. We don't know. But God promises to those who have this key, to those who walk in this place, he promises that the others are going to recognize that these people knew God. Amen? And how is he going to do that? Well, if there really is such a thing as the rapture, the taking away of the bride, that might be a way he does it. I don't know. Doesn't matter to me. The stuff I don't know doesn't matter to me. Amen? I just know the one I know. So I'm okay if we're supposed to stay, I'll stay. I'll shine bright. Amen? But I will say this, and he knows this is my heart. I'm not missing that wedding, and I'm not going to be a bridesmaid. This is the one wedding where it's not okay to be the bridesmaid. The wedding of the Lamb. Amen? Amen. And it requires someone who has a heart after God. It requires someone who wants God as the most important relationship in their life. That's why he's called the bridegroom. That's why it doesn't matter if you're male or female. God is trying to say, when he set us up, and Adam asked for a helpmate, Adam wanted a companion. He wanted something more than... this is good. God didn't just bring him a guy to hang out with. God didn't just bring him a brother, because God could reproduce any way God wants to. Okay, there's actually animals that can self-reproduce. All right, we won't get into all this science, but do you understand what I'm saying? When Adam specifically asked God for somebody to share his life with and to share his life on this planet with, you get that? God chose, no matter what anybody wants to say, this is the truth. God chose to bring him a woman who wasn't exactly like him. And biology tells us how they're not exactly alike. Science tells us they're not exactly alike. And everyone who's not completely wounded by the enemy gets it without a problem. Amen? They really get it without a problem. Don't even have to be explained. But we have an entire culture trying to destroy the way people think and understand what's natural, to cause all kinds of demonic confusion. It's very sad. So I want you to see this. When Adam asked for someone to share his life with, God thought, oh, a bride. This will be great. A man and a woman in love, ordained by God, producing offspring. This will be great, because this will go along with the end of the book. When the bride is made ready by the Holy Spirit and she wants to spend all of her life, all of her moments with the bridegroom king, and she says, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen? Isn't it cool that he starts with the man he created in his image and his likeness asking for someone to share his life with? Whew. God does all this earth stuff, gets to the place where then he has a people crying out saying, we only want to spend our life with you, God. We only want to spend our life with you. Please come. Please come and be real to us. Come and give us that real relationship. Your bride says come. Amen? So, let's worship him. He's given us a lot to pray about and think about. Amen? Now, if you love this teaching, then you better say you love this teaching. then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.